It was a poem written by a Miss Charlotte Elliott back in 1835. And it was called, entitled, Just As I Am. It reads, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. The next year she added another stanza, Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, here for a reason, for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come. This was turned into a very popular religious hymn in the late 1800s. And it's a longer poem, so they didn't necessarily use all the words. And interestingly, a very important critical stanza in this poem got left out of some of those hymns. Some hymns include it, some don't. And that, because of leaving out this stanza, it can lead to possibly a misunderstanding of the phrase, just as I am. So let's go to that phrase, that stanza. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, semicolon, or sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, Jesus Christ, O Lamb of God, I come. All of these other things are examples of thanks in our present condition, right? But this one stanza makes us realize that there's something we do in this relationship. There's something that happens to us in this relationship that we then have a different kind of relationship with God. So the Episcopal hymnal doesn't have that stanza. There's a popular singing artist, Carrie Underwood. I think that's her name. Yeah, she leaves it out. Others leave it in. The reasons it's such a critical stanza in the hymn is that it is the only stanza that reveals godly growth and development, or the explanation of the value of that relationship. If this is left out, all we have is a song that describes God's mercy and patience and all these gifts he gives to an undeserving person, but without any useful explanation for our role in that relationship. And that would be okay, except that there's a phrase in here that says, just as I am. It could also leave a person to believe they don't need to change, just stay the way they are. So this one stanza is a necessity, at least in this hymn, for having a proper view of being accepted by the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, just as I am. So let's look at these words that it describes that we gain because we are in this relationship with God just as he comes to us just as we are. Sight, riches, healing of the mind. Let's begin with sight. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. and reading in verse 9 also, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this is Paul speaking of himself, a humble man, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, that could apply to the second point, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. We could have gone to Old Testament scriptures to see how Israel, the people of God, had eyes to see but couldn't see, ears to hear but couldn't hear. We have been given eyes to see. Knowing that Jesus provides the only avenue for salvation by his sacrifice is actually not enough. Christ Jesus is much more than the death, but the fullness of God. Not just the death of God in the flesh, but the fullness of God, flesh or not, which is about pure love, pure, perfect character, and power without measure. Let's go on to riches. Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We'll read verses 3 and 4. And do you think this, O man, who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? This is a hypocritical judgment. You know, sometimes I might look down on somebody and judge what they've done, forgetting I did it last week, you know, or I've done it before, right? So there is this hypocrisy in this judgment. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So see, I need to remember that God has to forgive me for my mistakes, and I need to have that same patience with my fellow man, because they may not even be in relationship with God, but the same patience is required. Jesus didn't come to judge the world at the time he came. It's not our job either. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. So just a little farther down in Ephesians from before. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. There is a God's glory is rich. Everything about God and what he gives us by his Spirit is rich and powerful. This Spirit he puts in us, and it strengthens us. And then finally in Colossians chapter 2 for this topic of riches. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So these people knew Paul, but only by correspondence, that their hearts may be encouraged at being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we see truth, we see and understand what God wants us to do, and we begin to develop a great depth of understanding of this truth. And we see its richness, its wealth, its value to us. Now, finally, the third statement that this author made was healing of the mind. If you remember when we discussed the makeup of man, when we were discussing this in the Days of Unleavened Bread, there was the old man and there is the new man, and these two coexist. But it's not like two different people. It's you. It's me, right? I am the old man and I am the new man. One has been put to death in the grave of water at baptism, and we've found a new life in Christ. But that old man is always there, always struggling with us. Okay, so with this healing of the mind, you know, you can think of someone being healed of a virus, a bacteria, or a fungus. This is a foreign body coming into the human being, and the body might be able to fight it, or Christ could have come and healed the person, right? But there's another healing that comes that Christ can give that is like based on, let's say, a withered hand. Something you have from birth, something that's never going to change. It's you. It's a useless hand. Christ comes and he touches that hand. He makes it whole. It's the same hand, but one was a useless hand, and the new hand is fixed. Fixed is almost not the right word. It's a totally different thing. Same hand, but it's reformed. It's remade. And that's the way we are. One mind limited by the lameness of the old. And so then we need to be healed. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we'll read in verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, we don't need a song to show us here that there is a part that we play. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is this renewal that comes as a result of the sight and as a result of the riches of the knowledge of God and the Holy Spirit put into us to help us change and grow. And we'll go on to 2 Corinthians really quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, or a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we see here, this transformation is totally miraculous. God is making children. We will be as He is someday. When our Father in heaven approached us to call us, like we reviewed during the days of unleavened bread, we were slaves, unable to free ourselves from sin and death. We needed the blood of the Lamb. Then we needed to follow our Lord out of slavery to freedom. We came to Christ, quote, just as I am, unquote. But from that moment forward, our purpose was to follow the Lord, who we could now see, grow in the understanding of God's righteousness and the richness of all that is, the wealth of it, and go through the process of becoming a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ, by transformation or healing of our minds and hearts. A friend of ours on social media this week, many of us are friends with her, she posted a meme, and it fit with my message, so I wanted to put it here. It says, don't judge me by my past. I don't live there anymore. It's a good philosophy to have and a definite way to think about life. This sight, these riches, and this healing will then constantly lead who we are into the image of Christ. By the Spirit of God, we can be transformed completely eventually. We grow. I'll just end today with Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, which sort of give us some of the fruit of that. It's one of my favorite passages. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness, I might add, singing hymns and singing to God, they don't have to be the complete instruction of God. They just can't be misleading. They have to have instruction about God and your relationship, whether it's what you do for Him or what He does for you. It doesn't matter. It's just a song of praise. We just don't want to get misguided by certain words if certain things are left out. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, we should say all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, these qualities we will have because we are focused on God, seeing what we should see, seeing the riches of it, and our minds are being changed. Whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.